This is the My Natural Beat Podcast, Episode 9. I am Cookie, your host. The My Natural Beat podcast inspires and encourages exploration of the world and of your mind, body, and spirit, whilst celebrating and connecting strong, courageous individuals full of moxie from around the world, one conversation at a time. Today we welcome Sam from Dirty Alchemy. Sam talks about regenerative agriculture and living a sustainable life in alignment with your values, without having to go shoeless, and without having to change your diet drastically. Sam is special. She has this soul-shining, beautiful intelligence that pervades from her with each word she speaks. In addition to co-founding Living Earth Systems in Southern California, she is a mentor to women who want to be more in alignment with their values. By supporting others in lightening their load and being true to themselves, Sam is a fountain of information and knows her message and values all too well. She is a fellow journaler who has full-circled past journals and has a deep connection to her place and space on this planet. Whether she was talking about her work with either Living Earth Systems or Dirty Alchemy, how to individually find habits and practices to incorporate into your daily life that support both you and the earth, or regenerative agriculture, this episode contains much food for thought. It was wonderful to bring a guest to the My Natural Beat podcast, to which I was not previously familiar with their specific line of work. Thank you for enlightening me, Sam. This episode is good for anyone interested in living sustainably, learning about regenerative agriculture, and wanting to live more in alignment with their values. I hope that you'll enjoy our conversation. But before we get to the show, I would like to give a big thanks to the guys in the band Nonstop out of Boulder, Colorado. I would like to thank you guys for letting me use your music. If you're listening to the podcast via Facebook, check out their Facebook page at Nonstop Facebook page. That's capital N-A-apostrophe-A-N space stop. If you're listening online, check out their website, www.naanstopmusic.com. And if you're listening via iTunes, check them out at capital N-A-apostrophe-A-N space stop. That's Nonstop. Alrighty, let's get to the show.
Okay, so sitting comfortably in your seat. Just going to take a few breaths together to kind of tune in, get on the same page, letting go of any worries, closing your eyes. Take a full breath out, clearing your lungs. And inhale deeply. And hold. And exhale. Taking a deep breath in. Hold. And exhale. One last deep breath in. Holding it in. And exhaling it completely out.
Cool. So here we are. We're on the same page. Excited to start this episode with you, Sam. And to familiarize the listeners and me a little bit about what you do, feel free to tell us how you spend your days, what you do, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Sam. I'm the woman behind Dirty Alchemy, which is how I believe you reached out to me.
Exactly.
Correct. Yes. I would actually love to hear how you found Dirty Alchemy.
Yeah, I was on Instagram, and my last guest, Eleanor from Earth Sprout, I guess she had liked something, and it showed up on my feed, and I went to see, and I just started clicking around.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I felt drawn to connect with you and see what it is that you're doing in the part of the world you are, and how to learn more about it and just share your mission.
Oh, great. Okay. Oh, I'm supposed to start with where am I? we forgot about that. Come on, Cookie. So I'm currently visiting family in Central Michigan. So looking out the window at some really beautiful trees with the morning sun coming down and hitting the leaves, and you can kind of see the light shining through.
Beautiful. And you're right. I totally skipped where in the world you are. You're keeping me on my toes.
So that's where I currently am. But I'm in a few weeks, it may be different. We'll see.
Okay. So you're visiting family in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And do you like this part of Michigan? I know it's just a visit.
Oh, I love Michigan. It's interesting. The last two places I've lived have been Maui and San Diego, which a lot of people kind of like hold on a pedestal of the places they want to vacation to or visit or live. And going to those places and being like, oh, I'm from Michigan, and hearing people's responses. and like, oh, I love Michigan. I can't believe people don't understand the beauty of it.
Right.
Wow. So, yes, I love this area.
Cool. And I understand you went to school, you went to college in Michigan as well.
Yeah, I studied physics at University of Michigan.
Okay. Wow. Physics. We can now shift to what you do and how you spend your days, and maybe it'll tell us how you got from Michigan to those dreamy places.
Yeah, I guess if how should I go about this? So the transition from other Michigan to other dreamy places was, in college I minored in environmental studies, and I remember sitting, like studying for some science final, or maybe it was calculus, and I was in one of the dorm cafeterias, and, a group of students come in to a table next to me, and they're bringing a bunch of bags of and they look really excited, and they're chopping stuff up, and after like an hour I go over and I'm like, what the heck is going on? What are you guys doing? And it ended up being a student group who were trying to get local food into the college cafeterias, and that was kind of my very, very first awareness and step into the local food movement, which catapulted me towards environmentalism. And it was just this really, like, it was like jumping into a pool, like it just complete change of reality and realizing what was going on, and really feeling the passion behind being of service to the world, or feeling as though I was kind of finding a true calling. Mm-hmm. But then going through a bunch of environmental classes, I had some really, really, really serious worries and realizations, and the messaging I was getting was pretty much like, we're screwed. And it was just so upsetting, and kind of feeling like, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end. We're the humans are the mess behind everything. What are we doing? There's no change. Like, there's no hope. Mm-hmm. Which was very upsetting. That kind of took me towards learning about permaculture, which was kind of instilled a sense of hope into me and connecting with the natural world in a different way. Mm-hmm. So getting into permaculture eventually took me to Maui, where it's just a really wonderful fruit tree food paradise. And going to there, that's where I met an epic mentor for regenerative agriculture, and we ended up taking our business to Southern California. And I co-founded Living Earth Systems, which is a regenerative design company and education and inspiration and all around regenerative agriculture and how people can play a role in actually being the change they want to see in the world through connecting with the earth and growing their own food. And then that kind of blossomed into Mi Surrender Alchemy, which is, it's more of how, how do I explain this in a relevance to the story? So with Dirty Alchemy, I mentor women who are really wanting to align their energies with their values. So a lot of women who are coming into the environmental movement, and they are overwhelmed. Like, there's a lot of contradictory information out there, and a lot of preaching, a lot of righteousness, a lot of guilt and shame beneath it. So kind of helping women to connect with their inner guidance system and understand that they don't have to start eating granola or start wearing goddess dresses or, like, stop wearing shoes or even become vegan. Like, there's a lot of the whole environmental culture has a lot of weight behind it, and there's a lot of shoulds, and this is what it should look like. So it's kind of, instead of that, it's connecting with their natural beat.
Yes.
so that they can make their own decisions and, like, actually making choices and acting from their soul instead of what they're hearing from media.
Right.
Or culture.
Right. Wow. So it's very sort of intuitive. You mentor women kind of who want to make an environmental impact or who want to align their vision and their values together, right? I mean, putting that into practice that is, like, comfortable and not so uncomfortable, I guess practical. It's helping them find their way in a practical environmental support, sort of.
Yeah, totally. And it's definitely, like, it, a lot of us can see a vision of what, because a lot of people can see how things are supposed to look like, and that sort of thing can actually deter them from making a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
But by kind of letting go of the things that don't really matter to them, that aren't valuable to them, they can actually make consistent action that matters, and they can actually stick with it instead of being jumping full force into something and getting lost in it and then just pulling completely out because they're left with a bad taste in their mouth.
Right. So if anyone who's listening is intrigued by this, by the notion that if you want to help the environment, you want to live a more sustainable life, and yet you don't need to convert yourself to become a plant-based, you know, vegan or raw vegan or whatever it is with the eating, what are some, let's say, simple practices that they can slowly incorporate? For example, if it sounds like they can do it, I mean, I can think, would bringing your own grocery bag to the grocery store, that's a tiny step, but that is a huge, it makes a big difference in the long run, right?
Yeah, totally. It's really those simple things that do matter. It's also realizing what you care about and you don't really care about. Like, if you're someone who loves fashion, you can follow that enthusiasm and be and realize that there's so many amazing, amazing fashion designers and artisans who are creating beautiful clothing that are works of art that are completely sustainable, are made out of reclaimed fabrics, all sorts of really beautiful things using natural dyes. Or if you don't really care about, just go to a thrift store and get reused stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or with food, just learning how to cook. Like, that alone can really change everything. Going to the farmer's market. But then there's, it's really, you have to like sit down and be like, okay, these are the things that bring me joy. These are the things I really care about. These are the things I don't really care about. So what can I let go of? Does that make sense?
It does. Now, are they sort of value-based words, or are they also practices like, you know, spending time with my friends is something I value, or practicing yoga, or is it like, or would it be something like honesty is something I value, or time, or is it everything? You just get it all out on the paper, and then you see what exactly it is that you value, and then mm-hmm. adjust from there.
Totally. Like, it's both the macro and the micro, as is this entire life we're living, right?
Yeah.
And I guess in terms of actual, like, practical steps, you can look at the different areas of your life that you're living in the external world, whether that's the way you dress, the way you eat, where you're spending your time, what is it, like, doing a zero waste challenge, like realizing where you're at, like, all of the plastic and the packaging is adding up. It's just being aware of where you're actually spending energy, whether that's time or money or thought, like, all of these things, just bringing awareness to all of these things and kind of looking at them, assessing, is this in alignment with, like, my actual values? So it's coming back to, like, a really intentional living, which for a lot of people is a huge process.
Right. Because it seems like, you know, you do this, you do this, you check it off the list, and you just keep going like that. But it gets to a point where, is that your list or is that somebody else's list? Is it important to me?
Yeah. But going back to your question, in terms of a really simple place to start is just follow your enthusiasm, follow what excites you. If food excites you, just learn some new recipes and go to the farmer's market. If clothing does, then there's, like, really easy changes there. But you starting with what is really exciting for you is going to be the habit that can really anchor it in.
Cool. And so, Dirty Alchemy, what was the inspiration behind choosing that as the name for your mentoring sort of space, and also how you share this type of work?
Great question. I actually sat with it for a good year before actually using it. 'Cause there's a lot of weight behind the word dirty. it has a lot of context, but in terms of what I mean by dirty alchemy, it's kind of like with composting. So anyone who's composted before, you're taking food scraps or organic matter, paper, and you are giving it to the earth, and you're allowing mycelium and bacteria and different insects and worms to break that down, and it turns it into fertile soil.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking the things that like down into the earth, bringing it into your body, bringing it into your awareness, we're able to actually transform them into things that we can, that are, like, stunning and beautiful and are of use to us.
Exactly. That is so cool. Now, when you were in Maui, I mean, I've been to Maui, but it's only, you know, to the coast where you go relax and do whatever you do on vacation and while you're in Hawaii. But how did you find this place that you were in Maui? And would you recommend it to people who are curious or in a position in their life where they want to try something completely new?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is a really good question. I think that if someone is interested in learning regenerative agriculture, they should learn it from someone that is in the area where they want to be living or where their land is, because every place and every climate has completely different assets and completely different struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, going Maui Moon Farm on Maui is a really beautiful example of regenerative agriculture for anyone who's just happens to be visiting. It's in Haiku, Wailo. But if someone is interested in learning regenerative agriculture, whether they want to be a designer or they just want it to implement it on their land or in their life,
mm-hmm.
I recommend going to a climate that is applicable to the climate that you are in.
Okay, so you can learn. And let's, before I go any further, define for me, please, regenerative agriculture, just so that I understand completely, because in my mind I have something that I think it is.
Oh, of course. So, regenerative agriculture is using techniques and designs and systems that leaves a piece of land better off than it was before.
Okay.
More fertile, more productive. 'Cause a lot of examples of agriculture that we see and that's pretty much producing most of the food in our grocery stores that we're eating are completely either poisoning or depleting the land that it's on.
Right.
So regenerative agriculture, you are growing all of your inputs. So you're growing your fertilizer, you're growing your, you're making highly nutrient dense food because it's all a working system. And then bringing in aspects of permaculture, which is kind of a play on words for permanent agriculture or permanent culture, and bringing in a lot of perennials. So that is fruit trees and different kinds of plants that you do not have to, that are producing year after year instead of you pulling them out of the ground season after season. So it is building this like kind of, you can imagine like, my favorite way to describe this is you have a garden. For anyone who has had a garden and they go away for a few weeks in the summer, they come back and their garden is either overtaken by weeds or completely dead.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at a forest, you can leave a forest for years and not only are you coming back to it and it everything is as fertile as it was before, but it's actually better than it was before. So how can we design our food systems in our agriculture in a way that mimics a forest? So that is just taking inspiration from nature, because nature is perfect.
Right. It sure is. Wow. That's a lot to think about, and it's really fascinating because I haven't been so exposed to this sort of work or agriculture. So I'm very impressed by your knowledge.
Well, okay, I really encourage you to look deeper into it, because that's where I found hope in the darkness of the state of the environment, because there are solutions already present on this planet and all we have to do is start acting on them.
Right. And the company that you have in Southern California, what do you guys do with that? I mean, for example.
So with Living Earth Systems, since we've only been in Southern California for year and a half, and we're doing a lot of workshops for people on composting and aquaponics, which is, okay, let me describe aquaponics. It is, you're using either pond systems or fish tanks, and you are raising fish or shrimp or other creatures that their poop is then taken with the water through either pipes or stream beds that grow food out of it. And the fish waste is providing the fertilizer for the plants. And it uses 3% of the water as traditional planting in the ground does, because you're circulating the water through the system, which is incredibly important for places like California, which have been in drought for, has been in a drought for years, just ended, but it's essentially a desert in Southern California.
Right.
We also do design. The biggest thing that people have been asking us for is designing and implementing natural swimming pools. So that's converting a chlorinated swimming pool into a biologically filtered one that is without chlorine.
Interesting. And that's different from a saltwater pool, right?
Yes, it is. It's you're using the plants as and sand filters and different filtration systems to keep the water clean. And it's something where a lot of people don't, if you haven't maintained a pool yourself, you don't realize that every time that someone has to do water changes on a pool, which is surprisingly often multiple times a season, they're flushing the chlorine into pretty much the yard, which leaves toxic salt. So what if instead of flushing chlorine and chemicals into your yard, you're flushing fish poop, which is fertilizer, into your yard and building a more fertile landscape?
Wow, I haven't heard of such a pool. I only thought there was salt and chlorine. I feel
I mean, honestly, we haven't seen anyone else doing this, so that's probably why you haven't heard of it.
Very cool. Very cool. Wow.
But then, of course, we do travel worldwide to do consultations and designs, so, but that's what we're doing in Southern California.
Okay, and are you out of San Diego or somewhere nearby?
Somewhere nearby. Yeah, okay. We're in a little rural outskirts of San Diego.
Cool. Very neat. And do you like the lifestyle living in Southern California?
I do and I don't. me visiting Michigan right now, I just grew up in such a water... with so much access to water, and like the Great Lakes is actually a huge, a large percentage of the world's potable fresh water. So there's just, it's such a resource here. So being in a place without water and very few trees is kind of jolting for the body.
Yeah. Change of scenery, but, for sure.
But there's some really great people there. There's so many people who are conscious and doing amazing work, and we built a really great community. So that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. I'm learning so much.
Well, I'm glad.
I love it. So I think now I'm going to ask the usual My Natural Beat questions, and they sort of... just shed light on where you are in your perspective. Most often I find that I also learn from these questions, you know, little habits and techniques that my guests have that help them live a happy and full and content, you know, life. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Oh, good.
So my first question is, how do you explore the world?
The first thing that comes to me is exploring the world through food. And I mean, breath and food are like two of the most basic ways that we commune with our external environment. So that would be my answer.
Okay, so it's through food, different types of food, and food preparation as well, and the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? Yeah.
But okay, now I have to clarify the question. Are we talking more about travel, or are we talking about just
it's
life?
It's you. It's what comes to you when you think about exploring the world. I mean, it could
okay.
be.
Then that's my answer.
Great. I think I love to hear, because we so often think about travel and I have to go somewhere and to explore, but I love that, you know, you can explore this afternoon when you go to your kitchen to make yourself something, you know, or with your breaths, you can explore the temperature of the air or how it feels in your body. Now, do you have a particular breath practice?
Kind of. I mean, I do a lot of Kundalini yoga, which is just really intensive breath work, and there's probably a million, or at least a few thousand, different breath work patterns that they teach. So if anyone's interested in some really powerful breath work and that can affect a lot of different aspects of your life, look into Kundalini yoga. Rama TV is a great source for that.
Cool. I'll put the links in the show memo so I can check them out too.
Perfect.
Cool. Now, on the alternative exploration of the world, you mentioned the company or the business that you work with, that you have. You guys travel around giving quotes and, you know, looking at different projects. So travel is something that you really like.
Definitely. Yeah, it's very illuminating.
Exactly. And do you have a place, your next place that you're going to travel to in mind or selected?
In my mind, not in like scheduled at all. A few places that I'm really interested in traveling to next and visiting is Portugal, Puerto Rico, and Belize. So the intention is there.
You've already set the seed. It's going to grow.
Yes.
It's growing as we speak. Very cool. My next question is, how do you explore your mind?
I find that I'm a very mental person. Like, I'm constantly listening to podcasts or reading or watching videos, and I love to learn. So the other side of that is definitely the digestion of information. So I find that journaling and meditation are incredibly important for exploring my mind. It's kind of like the processing of all of the things we're bringing into ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And have you been a journaler for many, many years?
I mean, kind of. I've been on and off since childhood, but it's probably been the last few years that I've had a really consistent journaling practice, and it's really incredible. I love journaling, and I find it really, really useful for kind of taking all of the thoughts that we have racing around our mind and clarifying them.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though we're thinking, oh, I've already thought this through in my head, but the second that I take my thoughts onto the paper, all of a sudden I'm coming to really clear conclusions, because I think we have a lot of simultaneous thoughts in our heads or half thoughts that aren't actually coming to closure. So I find journaling really useful for that.
Definitely. I've been a journaler as well. I mean, I have a trunk full of notebooks just that I wrote, you know, what, I don't know. I always felt that it was some way to just get things out, and I find it quite therapeutic as well.
Totally.
Do you have...
Oh, I'm so jealous of you that you kept your notebook. I've moved around like so much in the last like 10 years that every time I move, I do like purge. I just purge all my stuff, and journals are definitely, so I like, now that when I'm done with the journal, I compost it, and I'm like, I mean, I give it to the earth, which is beautiful, but now I'm like, I wonder what I was thinking 5 years ago, and I can't just like look back, so that must be so interesting.
It is interesting. I have them, you know, where my parents are, and I remember when the summer when I would come back from school or, you know, being out of where they are, I would just, you know, like, okay, I'm going to go sit with my box and just open them and read them and see what was I doing? What was I writing about? You know, and it's amazing how much it brings you back, and you don't feel so much as if time has passed. So you know, on one hand, I think maybe I just need to get rid of them and compost them like you, and really
don't do it.
Full circle them, you know, giving them back to the earth. But you know, I don't know. There's just something special about journals, and then, you know, like gluing in tickets and like maps, and I just love it. So I'm happy that you're a fellow journaler. We can share that, because I think it's quite special, the pen to paper and that sort of process. And I mean, if anyone is listening and they're not so, you know, they haven't been journaling, your particular practice, I mean, do you set a candle and do you sit every day at a certain time, or is it just kind of, you know, very organic when you feel like you need to?
Both. I'm totally someone who does like rituals, and in terms of like doing things consistently, because I'm a really habitual person in a lot of ways. Yes, whenever like things are coming up and I need to process something, I'll bring out a journal, but I really encourage the practice of doing free writing every morning. Mm-hmm. If you have some space in the morning right after you wake up, pulling out your journal and just writing for a set amount of pages, whether that's one or five, and just writing whatever comes out of your mind, and whatever comes out of your head, it's like this like mind bath in the morning.
Cool.
So yeah, please try it.
Definitely. I love any sort of bath, so.
Me too.
Oh my goodness. So my next question is, well, you mentioned that you also meditate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to my next question, do you want to say anything about your meditation practice?
Sure. I try and do some sort of meditation every day, whether that is just Kundalini breath work. Like, that's been a lot of it recently, just because it's a really like active and interesting thing. I learned transcendental meditation in college, which is kind of like you sit for 20 minutes with a mantra, and which is like really great for clarifying, letting go of stress. But I think my favorite thing to do is just kind of dropping down into the body. So just going and actually feeling what your body is feeling. At least for me, I'm so in my head all the time. It's so important for me to kind of like sit down, let go, realize what my physical instrument that is my body, what it is telling me. Because mm-hmm. Isn't that just what like bodies are? They're just little like sentient receptors, so that it's giving you messages about the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's our job to translate that and tune in, mm-hmm. work with it. Cool. And so this will lead into my next question of how you explore your body.
How I explore my body. I love walking. I do a lot of walking. I do a lot of, not a lot, I consistently do some sort of strength training. I used to do yoga until I realized that it wasn't beneficial for my unique self. I grew up dancing and doing gymnastics, so I'm like just really naturally flexible, and I feel like doing too much yoga was not not helping me in that way. Mm-hmm. So I actually need the strength training to balance out that for me.
Cool. So you like to walk, and you did mention that you like to cook and go to the farmer's market. So do you subscribe to any sort of special way of eating? Yeah.
So actually a huge part of Dirty Alchemy is kind of letting go of those external labels of like, this is how we should eat. I must be a vegan. Because I did that for years, and it ended up being extremely detrimental for my health. So I think that, here we go, going back to tuning into the body, if we actually trust ourselves and trust our cravings and trust that we're going to give ourselves the best answers in terms of what we should eat, then I think that's the best way to go. We grow a lot of our own food, and I love going to the farmers markets and supporting local growers. I think that using that as a way to build community is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. In building relationships, because true resilience on this planet is our community.
Mm-hmm.
But I love to cook. It's the thing that brings me a lot of joy. So.
Yeah,
I encourage everyone to learn how to cook because that can change your life.
Definitely. I agree. Now, my next question is, how do you explore your spirit?
I mean, living life. I think that we're just spiritual beings living a human experience. So we have, in every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to like bring that element into our lives. So,
yeah, definitely. And what makes you feel most electric and alive?
Ooh, that's such a good way of putting it. what makes me the most electric and alive? Amazing conversation. I think that's my number one. That's where I get really like excited, and that's where we have like the most opportunity for growth. I love dancing. Let's go with that.
Okay, let's go with it. There was something I was going to ask you. I forgot what it was though. It was something along the lines of, it was in response to one of the things you just said about conversation, and well, we'll come back to it if I remember. Now, with your current situation, you know, job situation and things, do you feel like you have enough time, or that you spend enough time doing things that make you happy and make you feel alive?
Yes. Oh, totally. I mean, that's, yeah, I feel like all of my work is directly connected to what makes me feel alive.
Cool. And was it hard to sort of figure out what it was that you were going to do that fulfilled you and that met your needs with what you wanted to do in service and also as a career?
Yes. It wasn't hard in the sense of figuring out what it was. I mean, I guess it was. I think that we all have a really amazing ability to hide what's actually good for us from ourselves. So it's kind of like we have to be like a constant practice of like peeling back the onion of like programming to find out what's underneath. Mm-hmm. And sometimes have the thought of, like, I wish I didn't care, which is, like, the worst. It is the worst, but it's, like, honest, like, life is would be a lot more straightforward if I could just go work a 9-to-5 job in a cubicle and bring home a paycheck, but I could never, ever, ever do that anymore. Like, find it way, it would be going against my soul, and that would just be impossible.
So you found what it is that you want to do. I think that's great.
I should also put in there that what we think we're gonna do right now and in 5 years is destined to change.
Right. So. That's right. With the disclaimer, right now, currently.
Oh yeah. No, I feel really grateful to have followed the path that I'm on, and really grateful that I'm. Just really grateful. Yeah, totally.
So, are you reading any book at the moment?
Ew, I just started a really good one. Dreaming the Soul Back Home by Robert Moss.
Okay. How is it?
It's really good. I'm getting so many messages from every, like, corner of my life to pay attention to dreams this month. So really committing to that, if anyone wants to join me in that journey. It's great. It's kind of talking about how it points a lot to the psychoanalyst Carl Jung, his work with dreams, and talking about how our subconscious is talking to us through our dreams, and we have the opportunity to actually bring back to ourselves hidden aspects that we've left behind through paying attention and actively dreaming.
Wow. That sounds very interesting.
It is very interesting. I think so too.
Now, could you describe yourself in 3 words?
Ooh. Connected, powerful, me.
Love it. Connected, powerful, me. No, that's great. And so, sort of rounding out our conversation, is there one sort of routine or habit, activity, thought, or behavior that, if not always, almost always leaves you feeling in your natural beat?
I think that being really intentional with the time before and after sleep is really important for me. So kind of slowing down and connecting with myself before sleeping, that feels really important. And that's different day to day, whether that's taking a bath or journaling or meditating or talking with a friend. But really filling those times with things that are life enhancing, and not just stuffing it with TV or with checking emails or freaking out about something stupid.
It happens
so easily.
It does. So the time before you go to sleep and the time when you wake up is very special to you, and that when you take time to be intentional with those periods, it makes you feel calm and confident and in your rhythm.
Yeah, Yes. Do you, what's your answer to that question?
What leaves me feeling in my natural beat? Good. Well, you know, I was thinking about that because I often ask myself these questions every day. And they change, you know, my answer. But I think right now my favorite sort of thing that leaves me feeling in my natural beat has been, I think it's being in, taking intentional, I don't want to say intentional breaths because we breathe every second of our life, right? But similar to how we started the podcast call, by taking, you know, 3 to 5 really deep breaths and sort of, you know, pointing out, okay, what do I see? I, you know, describing what I see, doing my breath, really being in the moment and like staying tethered to the present instead of, you know, oh, what's going to happen in 2 hours? What's going to, you know, yesterday that happened. And and just really making a conscious effort to stay here and now, because that's all we really have. And I often, you know, you want to take a picture and put it on, you know, it's just so beautiful. You want to share the optic. And I'm always reminded, you know, you don't have to take a picture of everything. You just just enjoy it yourself, you know, just say thank you and enjoy it. So that's kind of right now what leaves me feeling in my natural beat, making sure I'm here today in this moment instead of...
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. And my final sort of question of you or for you is just to kind of leave anything you would like to say or thoughts with the listeners, whether it be anything, just anything you feel drawn to share right now.
Okay. I think that we can all massively change our lives by bringing awareness to how we're actually spending our lives and spending our money and consuming, and whether that's thoughts or whether that's food, if we just bring some awareness to what we're actually doing now, I think that's a really good homework assignment. And then I think that, or the second homework assignment is for everyone today or this week or for the rest of your life, feel your feelings fully, whether they're good or bad. Don't judge them. That alone is a really transformative practice. The important part is not judging them or putting any thoughts behind them, but just to feel them.
Hear, hear. I like that one. I really like
I'm not sure if that's relevant to our conversation, but
it's what comes. I mean, it's yeah. It's what you want to share now. It is relevant. Oh my goodness, this has been really lovely to talk with you.
So lovely. Thank you so much.
So that was Sam and I. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And if you want to check out anything that we talked about, it will be in the show notes on mynaturalbeat.com. And I wanted to also let you know that Sam and I are working on a zero waste challenge together. If you would like to join in to our zero waste challenge, I have the link to Dirty Alchemy and the Zero Waste Challenge link on the show memo so that you can join the Zero Waste Challenge. We are uncertain yet of when the date it'll start, as we're still creating it, but we wanted to go ahead and spread the word. And If you put in your email to the link in the show notes, it's the one dirtyalchemy.com/zero waste challenge. You will get notified when we start the challenge, and every day you will receive an email detailing what we're challenging that day and also information about living a life that makes less waste and feels good. So I hope that you will click on the link, add your email, and join us in our Zero Waste Challenge. And yes, if you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes and or share it with your friends. That way more people can be inspired to be in their natural beat. And yes, until next time, my friends, thank you for listening. Always feel free to reach out to me. I love to hear any suggestions or comments and to meet more people this way. So if you feel like reaching out to me, or even if we already know each other, you want to tell me what you thought of when you heard this conversation, go ahead and do it. I'd love to hear from you. So in the meantime, my hope for you is that you continue to explore the world and your minds, body, and spirit, and may you continue to live to the tune of your natural beat. Alrighty, till next time.